Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? And welcome to Werther's Writers Showcase. And tonight, we will be talking to author Shazelle Archie. I'm your host, Aisha Golson. And I'm just going to introduce you to Shazelle. Hi, Shazelle.
Hi, Miss Aisha. How are you?
I'm great. And you?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. Well, without further ado, if you'd please just introduce yourself, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you do before we start talking book business.
Okay. First of all, I want to say thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you.
I'm very, very grateful to be able to share my novel with your listeners. I am a registered nurse. I work here in Atlanta, Georgia, for the Grady Fiddle Infectious Disease Program. I'm originally from Mobile, Alabama, and I've been here for the last 14 years. I'm here with my 7-year-old daughter, Freedom. I love my church family. I love my earthly family. I love my friends. I like to be around people that give me good, positive energy. So I think overall, I think I'm a good person to be around.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that, Shazelle. And you say your daughter is named Freedom?
Yes, her name is Freedom.
So pretty. Oh, that's
thank
so pretty.
You. Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. So tell us, Shazelle, when did you start writing?
Well, honestly, when I look back on it, I started writing a very long time ago. I was actually writing way back in middle school. I didn't realize I was writing little poems and things back then, but I didn't have an idea that, you know, it would nurture into this. But as far as me looking and finding out that I had a passion for writing to actually put it into book form, I'll say that took place about maybe 7 years ago.
Okay.
And that's when I started to pen my first novel, The Fearfully and Wonderfully Made Diamond.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. So let me ask, because that leads right into what my next question was going to be. Was there a particular, I guess, pivotal moment that brought you to the realization that, hey, you know, I'm a writer or I have a book in me? Was there a specific, you know, thing that happened, a transitional experience?
Well, I wish I could say it was. Because it really didn't I'm serious, it really didn't happen that way. I think one day I sat down, because I tell the story, it was all about a sermon that my pastor preached a while back about telling us women in the congregation how we were to be treated like diamonds and we were to know our value and our worth. And I pondered over that conversation so long that when I came and I started to speak with my girlfriends, you know, we were so in depth with the conversation to where it was like, this is serious. So I just, you know, kept thinking about it, never realizing that something would come out of it. And one day I just sat down at the computer and I began to just type my first line. And from there, there it is. Yes.
Okay. So it was kind of sort of accidental on your part.
Yes.
Not accidental on God's part, but
he had planned
all along.
Truly ordained, orchestrated by him. Yes, it was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's awesome. All right, wonderful. Now when you published your when you chose to publish your first book and this one, did you go the traditional route or the self-published route, and which one did you choose and why?
Well, actually, I went the what I thought then would be really considered as a self-publishing route. Mm-hmm. I enlisted some other people to help me, which I would consider a third party, to do that.
Okay.
And I didn't know because I was just embarking. And, of course, every author or writer would love to be the traditional way and, you know, have that be a part of a of a house, a book house, and to
mm-hmm.
be able to do
mm-hmm.
that, to be able to have that. But I, when I started to do my research and learn different things, I said I wanted to keep the sole control as much as I could. So therefore,
mm-hmm.
that's what led me to that, you know, arena to be able to do it
right.
my way. So this time, I learned even more this time from
mm-hmm.
great people that God placed in my life to allow me to totally, totally do it by myself this time. And that's what makes this one so special, because I really am pretty much the sole publisher of this one this time.
Okay, excellent, excellent.
Yes, yes.
Very good, very good. So you learned the whole of the industry this time.
Yes, and I tell anybody there's still so much. I'm still learning. I mean, I still have questions.
Right.
A list of questions that I go to. I want to thank my publicist, Tyora Moody, because she has been a godsend
yes.
to me.
Yay.
She answers these questions. Hi, Ty. She answers these questions, and I'm like, I'm texting her sometime, like, don't think this is a crazy question, but because I don't know, and I'm constantly learning, and I want to be able to become a better writer in just the things that I look at, just the whole way that I do it. So, like I say, it's ever evolving. It really is.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Now, just looking at your experience with publishing thus far, if you could change
mm-hmm.
anything at all about the process, what would that be?
Well, about the process?
Mm-hmm. Anything at all.
I think that it was me. I think I,
mm-hmm.
because I, but I don't even know if I need to change it, because I think once I'm done, it
mm-hmm.
shows when I bring forth. But I put so much into it as far as research-wise. Sometimes I just wish that I could just sit down and just write. But I can't a lot of times because what I'm writing about, I got to always just stop and I got to make sure this is right. Got to make sure with what I write about, when I'm writing about my, when they're dealing with the HIV and AIDS process, I want to make sure that my readers really can understand it to their level, so I don't want to put it too high. So I have to go back and in essence, it's like I'm teaching myself all over again. So
mm-hmm,
if I could just get to a point where I could just write and not have to go so in detail, it'd probably be better for me.
Yes,
it would.
Yeah, a lot of research involved.
Yes.
But that's
it
good though, so that the writing is, you know, feels authentic.
Yes,
very good.
Because I think once I'm usually done. You know, I could tell
mm-hmm.
that I've done research, and I've had people tell me a lot of times that, you know, I'm very thorough and I'm very detailed, but I just want to make sure that I put the reader there with me, that they're actually there with me, and they can really
and
feel what I'm trying to do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's very important.
Yes.
All right. Now, what do you think about my last publishing question before we start talking about the book? What do you think about how technology has influenced publishing and, you know, the closing of the brick-and-mortar bookstores and all that kind of stuff?
Well, I really want to say honestly that pretty much I believe that a lot of it has actually gotten to a point where I would honestly like to say that because we have so many people going to, I want to say, reading online now, just, you know, the e-books and everything like that,
e-books,
a lot of people are getting away from the, you know, like you said, the brick and mortar. They're getting away
mm-hmm.
from that. So everybody wants to get the quick and easy now. Nobody really wants to be able to really, you know, you have those dedicated people that go into a bookstore, but a lot of people that I've talked to, a lot of people aren't looking for that.
Okay, so you think it's a good thing, a good transition then?
Yeah, I think it's a great transition because it makes it easily more accessible and,
mm-hmm.
you know, people can get it right there, and because everybody's not trying to really go and, just sit up in a bookstore. They want to be able to have that comfort to be able to read it right then and there. They really do.
Right. That's true. Then, that is very convenient, very convenient. All right. So, Shizelle, tell us the title of your current book and how you chose that title.
Okay. Okay, the title of the current book is actually The Fearfully and Wonderfully Made Diamond. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's not because everybody's been asking. I'm sorry.
The last
the current
right,
book
the
is
last
his.
Book.
Yes, 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 yes. Gosh, yes. The newest one is His Grace, His Blood, His Mercy. Mm-hmm. And with that one, I came up with the title of that because I truly had to learn and to do the research because I heard a lot of sermons that my pastor preached with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just about
right.
We tend to really, you know, say His grace, His blood, His mercy. Thank you for His grace. Thank you for His mercy without really understanding the true meaning behind that.
Mm.
So a lot, that's where a lot of that came from.
Okay.
Because, you
which
know, we always say things, huh?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go on.
That's okay. That's okay.
I was going to say that's going to bring me to my next question was what inspired this book, this story.
Well, because it's a sequel to the first one,
right.
I had to actually deal with a lot of things because I tell people all the time I had some valleys that I had to go through in
mm-hmm.
order to get to that point to even get to this book. And I
right.
knew deep down in my heart that I owe it to a lot of my diamond readers that
mm-hmm.
I just couldn't leave them hanging like that. So
right.
I had a lot of things that I had to go through. But like I said, what really inspired the title of it is because I know that a lot of times we just happen to tend to go through life and we just take things for granted. And
right.
I started to look at some things and just take them as they were. So when I came
right.
up with that title, I said to myself, I said, you know, you are guilty of that yourself. You always saying God's grace and God's mercy. But do you really deep down know what that means? Do you really know what that means?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, so I wanted to bring that forth.
I wanted to bring that forth. All right. Okay. All right. So briefly give us a synopsis without giving everything away. Give us a synopsis of the book.
Okay. Well, I want to be able to say that. In this particular book, you have Victoria Diamond Cartier. She is still the owner at this time and CEO of Diamond Investments. That's our main character from the last book. And
right.
this time she's still dealing with all her woes and everything that she has to deal with. But now in this book, she's married to Marcel, where last book she was married to Malcolm. But this time she's married to Marcel. And
mm-hmm.
she's dealing with everything that she has to go through with being married to Marcel and dealing with her everyday life. But she's also having to learn how to deal with raising a teenager in today's society. And this particular teenager is 13 years old, and she is
right.
named Gabrielle. And you best okay. believe this little girl is a little pistol. She really is. She's 13. She's beautiful. I tell them she's a triple threat. She has beauty, brains, and a body. So, therefore,
uh-oh.
Her thing, yes, and she knows it. She knows she's cute, but the thing about it, she's also a child prodigy. So, with that
okay.
being said, she actually is so, so smart that she doesn't have any common sense. And it tends to come through a lot in this book because I don't know if you've ever sat around a lot of teenagers, but just their whole
yes.
conversation, they think they know everything. You can't tell them anything.
Yes,
like we used
yes.
to be. You know, we used to be the same
yes.
way, and some of us are still that
mm-hmm.
way right now. So,
mm-hmm.
but really, in essence, this little girl herself has to go through some changes. And she
mm-hmm.
has to learn, you know, that, okay, even though I have all these things, I'm still
mm-hmm.
in a position where I need to be grateful and accept the fact that, believe it or not, I know I have my peers, but I still have to learn that I cannot do everything that I want to do. I'm going to make some mistakes, but at the same time, my mother is there and my father is there to guide me through that.
So true. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, tell me a little bit about some of the other characters.
Okay, well, you have, like I said already, you have Victoria, you have Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you,
right.
we have the famous Lucy who makes his debut again. He comes back, and
mm-hmm.
Lucy is Victoria's best friend, and he is
right.
the comic relief in the book. He really is. And
okay.
This time I brought along Gabrielle's best friend, Quinn. And mm-hmm. Queen is a 17-year-old girl. She attends, I say, Columbia High here in Atlanta. And she
okay.
is a pistol herself. Queen is, but believe it or not, Gabrielle gets all of her advice from Queen.
Of course.
But, you know, it's like, you know, because she looks up to Queen,
right.
because, you know, Queen, right. Queen has it going on. They have this thing mm-hmm. called the rule book that they go
mm-hmm.
by.
Uh-oh.
You best to believe Uh-oh. The rules in the rule book. Yeah, the rule book. It's some of these things in the rule book. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
So, yeah, so then you have
blind leading
the blind. Yeah, that's it, the blind leading the blind. So
yep.
Then you have you have Drew. You have Drew.
Right.
Drew is our handsome young man in the book. He's 23 years old, but he happens to be the young man that Gabrielle has her eye set on. And it is her
okay.
mission that, mm-hmm. you know, before school starts, she has this one mission that she has to prove to Mr. Drew that he can be the first one to help her lose her virginity.
Oh, okay.
At 13 years
Whoa.
Old. Yes, yes.
Whoa.
Like I said, he, yes, he is.
And she's how old now? She's how old? How old is she?
She's 13. She's 13.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And the thing about it, she has uh-huh. the body of a 21-year-old.
Right.
So
uh-huh.
I, yes, and that's actually what's her downfall in essence. Because
uh-huh.
I look around, you know, even today, and I see so many of these young ladies.
Oh yeah.
They look like grown women.
Mm-hmm.
They really do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of times it's not their fault. It's just, you know, the way
no.
that their whole hormones and bodies are made up. So
right.
She has all these different emotions and hormones raging in her. So now she has this thing because basically at this point she's the only one who has not lost her virginity. So now she feels
right.
like she has something to prove. She
mm-hmm.
has something
Depression.
To prove.
Right.
Yes, that's
wow.
what it is. That's
mm.
what it is.
What a combination.
So, yes. So, yes, mm. I think mm-hmm. we have a pretty good good character lineup in there. And
yes.
I'm hoping that, you know, the readers, they will really try to see what I'm trying to bring forth in the book because sometimes I've gotten a little backlash, like, you know, why would you make a 13-year-old go through so much? Because as an HIV and AIDS nurse, I see
mm-hmm.
this on a day-to-day basis.
All the time.
It's sad
that's
to
right.
say, but we see it. We see it. We're
that's
seeing
right.
12-year-olds that's already
sure.
been diagnosed with HIV and AIDS.
Sure.
Because
Absolutely.
At this age, they don't fear anything. You know,
no.
they have this one thing on their mind. So that's what
mm-hmm.
I say. I just, you know, I wanted to really bring an awareness message to both the teens and the parents.
Right.
Because
and
in this
parents.
Book,
that's...
yes, the parents are half having to learn things that I've had to learn. At least I'm hoping they'll learn
right.
some things and gain some knowledge by the time they're done with this book because, I mean, it's a lot of
Ooh.
Acronyms in there. You know,
mm-hmm.
everybody's used to the LOL, laughing out loud. That's the usual.
Right.
But we have some
mm-hmm.
other ones in there that happen
mm-hmm.
to stand out that, you know, a parent may not know that their child
mm-hmm.
is texting. Like, for instance, you have LH6. If you see your child texting LH6, you
mm-hmm.
don't know what that means, but
no.
in text world, that means let's have sex.
Okay.
So, yes, yes. You know, you have to be
wow.
mindful of these things. And I had to go. I tell anybody, if you want to learn, go to urbandictionary.com.
Mm-hmm.
It will teach you anything that you think you need to know. But
okay.
I think it's a great tool. It's a great tool because some of it can be a little overboard. But as far as
right.
parents trying to really understand some of the things that their children are saying, it helps.
Right.
It helps because the sad
yeah.
part,
yeah.
you have a lot of adults using this type of
right.
language.
Yes.
That's the
yes.
sad part about it. Yeah.
That is
so you can't
part.
Differentiate. Yeah, you can't
no.
differentiate the two. No.
Mm. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what would you say is your favorite part of the book, and why?
Well, my favorite part of the book is when
mm-hmm.
Gabrielle
Without
thinking at
much
this
away.
Point,
mm-hmm.
yeah, when she actually
mm-hmm.
gets to this point where she feels like she's grown,
mm-hmm.
and she cannot be told what to do. I mean,
okay.
that's it right there. Yeah, she gets
that's
to this
it.
Point where. You know, hey, so she has to learn her lesson. That's
uh-huh.
the part that I enjoy in the book.
Yes, yes.
yes.
the average
because
teenager.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. because I was once that teenager. You know,
yeah,
it's
me
like
too.
We get we get so big that you know we just have to learn the hard way. That's
hard
what it is.
Way,
we
yes.
have to learn the hard
that's,
way.
That's,
yes,
mm-hmm.
we do.
That's it.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
It. You're right. You are so right. Oh my goodness. So what is the main message? There's so many messages in there that you've discussed thus far, but what would you say the main message is that you, if your reader could just get one message, what would you want that to be?
If my reader could get one message, it would be
mm-hmm.
that we need to be careful
mm-hmm.
of what we do in front of our children
mm-hmm.
because the thing is they're looking at us. They're seeing everything we do. They're mimicking us. They're trying to be like us. Even when they're not in the same room, they're trying to be just like us. And so if I could actually just get one thing across, I just want to have my readers to truly understand that we are truly in a warfare and with mm-hmm. the parents and the children, and we have got to come together and we have got to learn to sit down and talk to our children and be open. And the same thing, we need
right.
to listen to our children because they're telling us something too.
Right.
So my
right.
biggest thing, I just would hope that everyone in the end of this, that the parents starts to say, well, okay, I know this is my child, but there is a fine line.
Right.
There is a very fine, I can't be my child's friend.
No.
I can't.
No.
My child has to have a level of respect for me.
That's right.
So that's
yes,
my main, my main thing that I would want to convey.
Yes, oh, very good, very good. Definitely necessary. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right. Now, when you were writing this book, such a deep, deep subject here, did you learn anything from your own writing as you were writing? You know, often God speaks to us through our own writing, and it ends up being therapeutic, you know, and we get, you know, we gain knowledge or wisdom ourselves, even in the process. Did you find that was true for you when you were writing this book?
Yes, I did. It was several times where I was writing that, you know, tears would come to my eyes because I saw so much of myself in both Victoria, being that parent. I saw
right.
so much of myself in Gabrielle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, she's a little more advanced in that book than I was at that time.
Right.
But still,
right.
I just saw
same
so
concept.
Much of myself. Yeah, the same
mm-hmm.
thing, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I had to learn that going forward, you know, I need to just really, really be able to learn how to even more be an example, just not for my
mm-hmm.
child, but for everybody
mm-hmm.
else's child, because we have gotten so far
right.
away from that. It takes a village to raise a child because
yeah,
you feel like you can't say anything to this child or
right.
this person can't say
right.
anything to this child. But once I truly believe that when we get back to that,
mm-hmm.
everybody, you know, but everybody's gotten afraid now because we got all the violence. But I
right.
just feel like once we can get back to what we were, you know, what we were reared on, where
right.
Miss Susie in the neighborhood, we would be afraid
yes.
of her, even if she wasn't
yes.
our grandmother, even if she wasn't, you know, this one lady could just look at you and you know,
right.
I better straighten up. But
right.
nowadays, these children,
shame.
They don't have that. Yes, and you would feel
right.
shame because you already knew that, okay, now Miss Susie got on me.
Mm-hmm.
So you know Miss
mm-hmm.
Susie's going to go home and tell my mom. So now I'm
right.
going to get it again. And then
right.
in my situation, then I was going to get it from my grandmother. So there you have
exactly.
it, three times.
Me too.
I'm going to get it. So, yeah, I'm going to get it three times
yes.
over. And I'm
yes.
like, no, we don't, you know. So, yeah, so, I mean, I just wish that we can
right.
really just start to not keep turning our eyes away from everything because
right.
we're so afraid that, you know, something may happen.
Right.
It goes back to the thing. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He just didn't
right.
do that. And at some, you know, at this point, we have to be bold enough to stand up and proclaim the truth. And that's what that is.
Right.
God, because he doesn't deal in foolishness. He doesn't.
Right. That's true.
So that's my thing. Yeah.
Woo. All right. So tell us, because our time is, I can't believe our time is almost gone. Can you believe it? Tell us, before we lose anyone, where we can buy this book and also
okay.
how we can find you online.
Wonderful. The book is available now on Amazon.com. Both books are available in paperback and ebook, as well as BarnesandNobles.com and ebook. I mean, not ebook, on BooksAMillion.com. BooksAMillion.com. And you can also find me on Facebook. You can find me www.facebook.com/ChiselleArchie1, as well as Twitter. I'm on Twitter.com/ChiselleArchie. And I also have my website. That's www.ChiselleArchie.com.
Okay.
So there are many ways that you can find me.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Very good. Wonderful. So, they, yeah, we'll have no problem finding you online.
Thank you.
good. All right. And so what's in store for you? What's next for you? You got this book, and I know
it's not the last one, but I really want to say I truly believe that I have another book in me. I know I do. I don't think it's going to be a trilogy right now, but I do know that Gabrielle, she will make another appearance somewhere down the line, but I have some other things inside of me that I want to put down on paper. So I have one now that's already in the works. I just want to make sure that once I, you know, get all of this done, that I can go ahead and do what I need to do with that one.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely be looking forward to it. Now, before we let
you
go with our last few minutes, if you would just share just a few words of wisdom for anybody who's listening, who may be an aspiring writer wondering, wow, you know, how can I do what she's done? Or maybe just a reader, you know, who's interested in reading this book and interested in hearing more about the issues or what have you. What would you say to our listeners? Some nuggets of wisdom.
Okay. The first thing I just would say is just go with your heart. Write with your heart. You know, it's not, people think there's just this technical thing to it. We all have a book in us. We do. And it's just a matter of you just getting down and writing what you have to say. It may not come out how you think it should, but just write from the heart. I mean, I just don't put any extra in it. Don't do the work. Don't worry about the editing and all of that. That'll come. You just write what you feel that God has put into you, or you know, that has been birthed in you. So I truly feel like, you know, there's so many avenues that you can go to. There are many people out there that's willing to help you. Online is a great, great resource. You have different places. But I would also say, please be aware, because there's a lot of people out there that's not genuine. That, you know, that's willing to take someone who really doesn't know it and just, you know, do what they think that they're going to do for that person. So that's why I say, be knowledgeable. Do your research.
Make sure
you really, really do your research, because there are people out there that's really looking for people that's actually, you know, just trying to get into it and really not know what they're doing.
Right.
So, yes, and I also want to say as far as, with my research, I still would like, you know, everybody to just be aware that HIV and AIDS is still as prevalent as it was at first. And a lot of people have gotten to think that, you know, because everybody is starting to look like the next person now, you can't tell someone has HIV and AIDS. It's still a serious matter, and we need to take it as such. And because we, as an African-American people, we are the number one leading cases of HIV and AIDS. And we as women, and I want to make sure before we go, I need my elderly to hear me. Please hear me. That we are getting new diagnoses of older people now being diagnosed with HIV ever than the first newly diagnosed. So now this is something we really have to look for. It is. It really is. Mm. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah,
yes,
devastating.
Ma'am.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that information. This has been very enlightening, very informative.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Listeners will take all of this knowledge and just run with it. And definitely, while you're running, pick up a copy of the book, His Grace, His Blood, His Mercy by Chiselle Archie. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you. Okay.
I definitely have to have you back again. All right.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome. Me too. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye. And you've been listening to Word Thirst Writers Showcase with author Chazelle Archie. Pick up a copy of His Grace, His Blood, His Mercy. Thank you so much, and please join us again on next week. Good night.